We're visiting Genesis. We didn't get real far. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I don't know if you might have missed last week, but if you did, God created the angels. He created all the heavenly hosts. We don't know how many angels there are. I think it's recorded in Job. There are midrids and midrids of angels. Whatever a midrid is, that's probably 100 million. I don't know. That's probably pretty close. He created them to do certain things. He gave them certain things to do. They were created especially for that. They cannot procreate. The exact amount that he created is exactly what there is today. However, one-third of his entire angelic creation, the most beautiful angel he created, his name was Lucifer. He got them interested in going his way. He wanted to be like the Most High. After all, he's one of the archangels. Not an archangel, but a cherubim. He was a cherubim. He was near the throne. He watched the activities of the Father. And he wanted to be like him. He desired to be like him. The prophet Isaiah spoke of it in the 14th chapter. Ezekiel 28th chapter speaks of it. So he was able to withdraw one-third of the heavenly host to go with him. So that tells me and shows me God gave the angels free wills, just as he gave man a free will. They were able to choose, and they did so. Getting ahead of the lesson, this didn't happen until Genesis chapter 6, but there will be a group of angels, and I don't know how many of them. Maybe this will be the first time you've ever heard this, but when you read Genesis chapter 6, maybe you get a chance to do that. You read it for me, and I'll try to explain to you just a little bit what we think happened in Genesis chapter 6. It says the sons of God saw the daughters of man that they were fair, and they went in unto them, and there was giants created from that relationship. Now, some would say they were not angels. They were just godly Sethites of the descendants of Seth. Now, if that's the case, what created the giants? So I'll let that for you for some thought. Now, the reason I say that is because this group of angels tried to interfere with God's creation. Now, they weren't ignorant of what was going to take place. They knew that Christ would be born sometime. I don't think they knew the time, but I think they tried to do everything they could to prevent that. And thus, there's a particular idea or thought of serpent seed. I can see that. I can see it happening in the scriptures. I just don't believe it's something that was God's idea. It just happened. I said last Sunday, sin originated in heaven. Let me say it this way. God created the potential for evil. He created the potential for it. He didn't create evil. He created the potential. And the potential of evil happened when he gave the angels a choice. You know, the similar thing happened with mankind. He gave mankind a choice. See, God doesn't have anybody in heaven who doesn't want to be there. They want and desire to be there. God could have made everybody serve him. He could have if he wanted to. Now, how would you feel if your parents, as a parent, your children said, I have to love mom and daddy. I have to. I don't have a choice. Huh. Aren't you glad that they had a choice and they still love you? That's the way God wants it. God wants you to have the choice. Aren't you glad you made the choice today to be here? Was it always that way in your life? Or was you much like what I was when I was younger? I was drugged to church. Didn't always have a desire to go to church. Had to sit there and be quiet, you know. I used to play with the psalm books, make little buildings out of them, until I got too big for that. I was raised in church. Mom and Dad took me to church. And sometimes I didn't behave that well, and I'd have, when he got me and we went outside, he gave me an attitude adjustment. Then after he gave me the attitude adjustment, then he'd tell me to stop blitzing. Well, I wanted to say, you're the one that caused it. Now, I knew better not to say that. Phew, brother. Wow. In those days, I had adjustments. You know what? I still do. Only it's a little different. God does the adjusting. And buddy, when he does it, you'll know you've been adjusted. Nothing like Mom and Dad used to adjust me. His adjustments. Whew. I'm trying to learn to not have to be adjusted. I guess we're all learning that. So that's what happened. Heaven was created. All that happened. The fall happened. How do you know, preacher, the fall happened? How do you know that the angels fell and were cast to the earth? Because in chapter 3 of Genesis, we have who? Who shows up in the garden? Oh, Satan, where'd he come from? Heaven. He was already cast out. That's how we know that the fall of the angels happened prior to the creation of the earth. That all happened. So now we're ready for the earth. The earth was without form or void. Well, now here between verse 1 and verse 2, there's called a gap theory. This theory teaches plants and animals of a previous world were destroyed and fossilized. First of all, let me get something very straight. The only humans God made are what's recorded here. There was not a pre-Adamic race. Out of the question, out of your head. So the gap theory don't wash. There was no pre-Adamic race. This is the race we got, the human race. There was no other. I'm just telling you, this is the kind of stuff that they try to fit in between verse 1 and verse 2. It's called the gap theory. Now, why is that? Well, they believe that there must have been something going on because we have fossils. Fossils take a lot of time to form. Well, first of all, if God would have wanted to create Earth with fossils, he could have done it, which I don't believe he did. What I do believe, I believe with the rest of the theologians, that the fossils came when? After the flood. Thank you. The fossils came after the flood. Isn't it interesting? Now, I live up on top of the ridge, and once in a while, it's raking around, and I find this rock, and oh, look at that thing. Wow, what a perfect shell. Man, that's neat. A shell and a stone. Now, how did it get there? How did it get there? I find them, I pick them out and lay them around. I like to see that as a remembrance of what God did. It came as a result of the flood. Okay? No gap theory. The earth was without form or void. Oh, man. A lot of things could be put in there, I guess. And they try to put a lot of stuff there. So the earth was without form and void. Does it mean it wasn't? Does it mean because it was without form that it wasn't shaped like a sphere? Was it not a big sphere, a circle? Is that what it means? It was void. You know what void means? Waste. It was wastelands. There was nothing. Nothing. Not a thing. We do know from the next couple of verses that the earth had what? What was the earth? Had what? Water. The entire surface of the earth was full of water. Now, if there was no heat, I would assume that that water was frozen. Wouldn't you? I would assume it was frozen. Because if you've done any studying about nature and the world, if the sun were to leave its orbit for one day, what do you suppose the earth's temperature would reach? Does anybody know? I said it one time, a couple of times. How many degrees below zero would the Earth's temperature reach if the sun left its orbit for one day? 150 degrees below zero. What do you think would exist the second day? Can you imagine this? It amazes me how God has put everything in space and it all works. Like the workings of a watch, a clock. Everything's so precise, so beautiful. So the earth was out, form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. The deep usually refers to sea, oceans, water. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. If you study what the Spirit of God moved upon, it's like brooding, like a hen would be over its chicks. The Holy Spirit was brooding over the surface of this planet that we call Earth. The Spirit of God was hovering over it. And God said, let there be what? Light. We are told in 1 John 1:3 that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. God is light. Now, God didn't have to really say light because wherever God is, there's what? Light. Okay, here's the supposition. I'm going to give you two thoughts here. Either the light was caused because God's there, which I believe, because there's no darkness in him, so wherever he is, there's light. But it says he divided, he said, let there be light, and then he divided the light from the what? Darkness. Huh. How could there be darkness when God's around? What God is establishing here, he's starting to do what? He's starting to make time. Time is starting. You see, up until now, who cares what time it is, huh? Right? He's getting ready to make man. Man needs time because man's going to be only allotted a certain time. So he has to make time. Up until now, there's no time. No clocks, no nothing. Because with God, it's all one eternal now. God's not limited to time, folks. We are. So he's going to create time. Time's going to start. Now, some believe the light, of course, is God himself. Because we know the Bible says God's going to be the light in the New Jerusalem. He's going to be the light. There'll be no need for a sun. He'll be the light thereof. Now, some believe that he created the sun at this time. Now, preacher, doesn't say he didn't make the sun till the fourth day. I know. He just didn't call it the sun when he made it. He just didn't refer to it as the sun. Now, what he also did make on the fourth day was what else? The moon and the stars. For seasons, for signs, for time. So he may have just referred to it then as the sun in the fourth day. But it's possible he could have made the sun now. Because he said, let there be what? Light. All right. When the Bible makes common sense, don't try to seek any other sense. You follow what I'm saying? Don't make it harder than it is. Okay, so he said, let there be light. And he saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. There you go. That's the first day. And we're talking about a day, not a geological period. Here's another place they like to insert information. That these were not 24-hour days, they were geological eras. In order for evolution to work, it takes millions of years, and so they have to try to figure it out, put it in here someplace. And so they try to insert it there. That the earth is millions of years old, and it has to be that way in order for evolution to work. Are you with me? That's why they feed you all this. And let me tell you something. If the devil can get you to change things in chapter 1 of Genesis, he'll get you convinced that the whole Bible is the same way. Are you listening to me? If you don't believe that the day was a 24-hour period and the evening morning was the first day just as God said it, then you're in trouble. And folks, we're in trouble. Because there's even church people and church leaders believe this garbage, that it was a geological era. And I'll prove that it wasn't. It was a 24-hour period. Sun up to sun down. That was a day. It's just like the Lord said it was. It's a day. It's not a geological era. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divide the waters which were under the firmament. The under the firmament is the oceans. Is the water. I daren't say it's oceans yet. I'm just going to say it's water. And then he divided it. In other words, he made the atmosphere and then the waters on the earth, on the surface of the earth. He divided it, made a firmament. And God called the firmament heaven. Now let me explain something to you. That's not the God's abiding place. That's the atmospheric heaven. Remember, Paul said he was called up into the third heaven? Are you with me? He's called up into the third heaven. This is having to do with the atmosphere because he's separating the water. And there's water in the atmosphere. And the evening and the morning was the second day. So now we have the atmosphere, the water separated from the water on the earth. And now we have the atmosphere. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together onto one place. Now we're talking about the oceans. We're talking now about the oceans. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together onto one place. He's talking about the surface of the planet we call Earth. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now, at the time that the dry land appeared, it was all one landmass. It was all one landmass. I'll have to take some other time to explain when that divided, when it was divided. I think you probably know when the land was divided. But it was all one landmass. I forget what the name of it, what they used to call it. I was in school, I forget if there was a name for it. But it was all one landmass. We had the ocean water and all the land was together. And if you ever look at a map or a globe, you can see if you push the continents together how nice they fit. Did anybody ever notice that? Am I the only one that ever seen that? Look at the map on a globe and look how these continents came apart. But if you'll look, you'll see exactly where they fit. They were divided. Anybody know when they were divided? When were the fossils created? The flood. There we go. The lands were divided when the flood occurred. That's what caused the great upheavals of the underground water systems to come up forth. You see, the whole earth went about a transformation. And that's what caused the underground systems of the earth, the water, to gush up. And that's what caused the whole earth to be submerged by water. And by the way, it wasn't a local flooding in the Jordan. The whole earth was covered, folks. Like I said, the devil keeps trying to twist you. If you don't believe the first couple of verses, you're not going to. There's no basis for you to believe the rest of it, is there? So we got to believe what's written in the first verses, so we can believe what's written in the rest. He called the dry land earth to gather and together the waters called the seas. God saw it was good, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass." This is all the same day. We're still working on the same day. Waters were divided. Land appeared. Now he said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielded fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the third day. Now, what's interesting to me, and you can take any fruit, whatever fruit you want to pick. Want to pick a peach? Well, no, peach is probably, we better say an apple. I have to say that through the species, there's changes. We get certain different things. We get changes because of, you know, crossbreeding. So I can't really call it a peach. I'm going to say an apple. Let's take an apple, for example. That would be an original, or a pomegranate. They say apples in the garden. It wasn't an apple. It's probably a pomegranate in the Garden of Eden. But anyway, whatever fruit you want to pick for me, I want you to see something interesting. The apple has a skin. After you take the skin off, it has the pulp. And after you get through the center, what do you have? The seed. So the apple is made up of three different things. Isn't it interesting? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see how God works? Huh? You see his creation? Skin, pulp, seed. Three. There's so many things that I see in here, it's just amazing. Oh, and it says, after his kind, fruit tree yields fruit after his kind. I like that. I took that and ran with it. There's a lot of stuff I can say about a fruit tree after his kind. You know, an apple tree only bears apples, right? You ever see a peach tree bear apples? Yeah. Okay, so the fruit tree is after his kind. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, the Lord was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, a fruit tree after his kind, you will know them by their what? Fruits. You will know them by their fruits. That means recognizing true followers and avoiding false prophets. Every word and every action is fruit from our hearts. Sinners sin because that's what's in their hearts. Thieves steal, rapists attack, adulterers cheat because their sins are the fruit from their evil heart. James says, I will show you a Christian by what he does. Galatians speaks about the fruits of the Spirit, tells us what the fruits of the Spirit are like. As is the life within, so will be the character and conduct without, for fruit always comes after its kind. So we're told not to judge anybody, but yet the Lord said, by their what? Fruits you shall know them. You see, people have fruits. I hope yours is good fruits. Because you can always tell what's in somebody's heart. Just listen to them. They'll tell you what's in their heart. Just listen to them talk. If there's bitterness in their heart, it'll come out. If there's hatred in their heart, it'll come out. Just listen to them. The Lord was hungry one day and he came upon a fig tree. Fig tree didn't have any fruit. It should have had. And he cursed it. He cursed it. What's he going to do with people who don't produce fruit? Curse it. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Those who produce fruit and those who don't produce fruit, and those who don't produce fruit will be what? Cursed and put within the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Wow. The Lord wants you to be producing fruit. That's what he wants you to do in your life. You are meant to produce fruit. He made you all special. Special people. All of us are special. I can't do what some of you do, and some of you can't do what I'm doing. You see, he made us special. We're all unique in the way that he made us. Today, people are upset with the way they're made. They think they're somebody else, so they try something else. Come on. Listen to me. God made you the way you are, and you need to accept that fact. There is no other fact to accept, the fact that God made you the way you are, period. Don't listen to the noise that we hear in schools today and universities and everything else, every place else. Go to God's word and find out that God made you the way you are and be happy that God made you the way you are. Be content. Accept that fact. Don't try to change something that's against nature. You ever try to spit in the wind? Try that sometimes. See how that works. That's going against nature. Doth not nature itself teach you? That's what the Bible says. Does not nature itself teach you? There's things you can learn from nature. Look at nature. Wow, my time's up. I come to a place where I can quit. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I've enjoyed your word today. I could have went on and continued and just went for hours. I love your precious word, and I'm glad that we have it today to serve as a guidance for us. As a compass, Lord, we need compasses. We need to know which way to go. The world doesn't know which way to go, and they listen to the enemy, and then they listen to what the enemy says, and they think that's the direction they should be going, but that's the direction of the wide destruction, the path of wide destruction. You said there'll be few that will find the narrow way, but there's a lot of people that's going to find that wide way of the destruction. And Lord, right now I want to pray for these people that are battling this issue of identity. They don't seem to know who they are, what they are. I rebuke, first of all, the devil who's sowing these lies of deceit. I rebuke him in your precious name. And I pray for them. I pray for these that are battling with this. I pray that the devil stop tormenting them. And I pray, Jesus, for you to fill their heart and their mind, that they will be content and they will learn to love themselves because it's the way you made them. You made them that way, to function the way that you made them. And so I pray for them today. Lord, just speak to their hearts and show them the way so that you can be a compass in their life. They need direction. And they need you today. I pray for them all. I pray, Lord, for these who are here today. Pray, Father, you'll continue to speak to them when they read your word in their quiet time and devotion time. I thank you for speaking to me, Lord, as I shared this lesson today. What a joy it was to share today your precious word. Lord, give us a wonderful week this week. Be with each and every one. Be with our school children, Lord. Protect them and keep them safe. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.